What a blessing. Appreciate the good singing this morning. Speaking of which, tonight we'll have our fifth Sunday singing. So if you sing, we'd love for you to come tonight with a song or two, and we'd love to hear you sing. We'll worship the Lord. And I'm going to try this morning to, I don't know how far we will get in this message this morning, but I'm going to try to watch our time, understanding there's some outside in cars. And according on how far we get, I don't want to chop this up too much, because we're going to start out pretty dark and pretty bleak, really just stating where we are in time and where we are in God's prophetical time clock, and just really take a look at what we are facing as human beings, as children of God, and what's on the horizon. And it is a dark picture. We're living in a dark world. The Bible said in the last days it'd be perilous days, dangerous, dark, demonic days. And we have lived long enough. You that are older remember hearing preachers preach that these days would come. And we've lived long enough to see them come to fruition. And so, but I don't want to just paint the picture of where we are. That's not the message this morning. I'll be preaching on the subject, weapons of our warfare. God knew that we would get to this point in time in history. God knew what we, the children of God, would be facing. And He did not leave us empty-handed. He gave us every tool necessary to stand and withstand all that we would face. And so let's look. If we don't finish this morning, I will finish up tonight, but let's get as far as we can. Ephesians chapter 6 in your Bible, very, very familiar text. You've all probably read, and most of you have memorized these, and I would encourage you to do so if you haven't. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. You've been seated a while. Let's stand. We'll give honor to the Word of God and let you stretch yourself for a moment. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. We will get to the armor of God. We will get to what God, the very tools, the very armor, and the weapons that God has given us to face such a dark, dismal day that we are facing. But before we get there, I want to take a moment and try my best to be upfront and honest with you, and try, as Peter said in his epistle, to stir up our minds and to help us really step back and take a look at where we are living and what we are facing, with the intent that if we truly see what we're facing, and we truly see, it's easy to get into the minutia of life and just to go along and really lose sight of just how far we have come. It's good for us to step back and pause a moment and look and see just where we are. And in doing so, I hope that that will help us all, myself at the front of the line, to understand and truly see why, if there's ever been a time that we needed to armor up and put on the whole armor of God, it's in the day and hour that we're living. Four times in these few verses, the Lord said to stand. And He then tells us how we can stand. And let me say, you may have stood for the Lord in your Christian life. I've tried to. But I want to say this unapologetically this morning. You may have stood for God all of your life, but can I say to you, we're living in days that the way we have stood this far will not suffice for the days we're headed into. It's going to take more. It's going to take more from us that God has given us. It's going to take the whole armor in order to go into the days that we're headed for, and truly the days that we're already in, for us to stand and withstand all that the devil has to come against us. And God says to us over and over, stand, stand, stand therefore, so and withstand. And so God truly wants us to stand. And the sad reality is, many will not. You say, preacher, are you speaking to me? Are you pointing fingers at me? No. But I simply say there's people here today that will not be here a year from now. There's people here today that may not be here a month from now. The devil is doing all that he can to deflect you and derail you and damage you and ultimately get you completely out of God's will. And he's doing it at such a fervor pitch, more so than he's ever done in the history of humanity. And so it's critical that we see where we are. I believe if we do not armor up, if we do not do more than we have done, if we do not take this serious, you may think you will stand, but you will fall. In and of our own power, our own strength, our own ingenuity, our own might, we will fall in the days we're headed. What used to would hold us up will not be enough to hold us up in the days we're headed for. And so, with that in mind, let's look. We're living in different days. Would you agree? We've never lived in days like we're living. I know that's sort of cliche, and you've heard other preachers say that throughout time, but I'm telling you, if you'll be honest and just wake up and look around and see what's happening, this is different than anything we've ever faced before. I'm not just talking about COVID-19. I'm saying all around things are changing in a massive way, and it's happening right before our very eyes. It's different days, difficult days. Would you agree and testify this morning? It's harder today than it used to be. It's difficult. Life is hard. I mean, we are going against the flow of this world, and it's at breakneck speed. The flow of this world and the winds from hell are at an all-time high, and we are having to walk contrary to that. And it's trying to knock us down. So it's different days. It's difficult days. It's dangerous days. I don't think we fully understand all that's going on in America. Hear me here. I'm not going to get political. I'm just going to state some facts this morning. Our southern border is wide open. We do not have a border. At the same time, while millions are flooding into our country, unchecked, we don't know who they are. Across the sea, across the ocean, you have major moves and countries collapsing and people who hate our guts who are fleeing from their lands and our president just pulled our military and left all of our goods and weaponry. I mean, billions and billions of dollars of unbelievable warfare and tools and give it to them. And if we don't think those people will find their way to pay some Mexican cartel to get in, I'm saying it's dangerous days we're living in. Dangerous. Not just worldwide, but right here in our country. It's dangerous. I'd say it's even more than dangerous. It's demonic. It's devilish, the days we're living in. And we'll see that on a broad scale. And by the way, all these things that I'm speaking of worldwide, we are experiencing some of it. We're just at the brunt of it right now. But economically, you can't spend $20 trillion and borrow it from people who hate you and who want to destroy you and who's already unleashed a virus on the world to try to put you under, and then borrow trillions and trillions from them and not expect them to own you. That's happened in 1 year. Constitutionally, we have given more of our freedoms and liberties away in a year than we have in our lifetime. Socially, the social norms are at an all-time low. The fabric of our society is coming unwound. One plotted against another, one against another. Racially, is at an all-time high. People are against one another. I'm saying we are in days that are unlike any days before. And this is what we got to see. Listen to me. There's something afoot. There's something higher than mortal men. There's somebody more powerful than Joe Biden as president who is making foolish mistakes. This is not political. This is not societal. This is not constitutional. This is a spiritual warfare, and they are powers that be that are moving us into a one world government, a one world currency, and yes, a one world church. And we are there at the brink of it, unlike any time in the history of humanity. I know we've heard this preached before, but I'm telling you, if you will open your eyes and look, we're living to see it happen. If you can't see that, we've entered into a brand new horizon. We've entered into a brand new phase where there are tectonic shifts happening all around us right before our very eyes. Then you're worse off than you think you are. Because even a lost world can see that something is changing. Lost people and the world understands that things are different than they've ever been. And we as the children of God should fully understand and equip ourselves for the days that we're walking into. There's so much big stuff, as I mentioned, going on. It's easy to lose touch of what's going on. But think about the technological move. Technology has transformed the world. And I'm not saying all technology is bad, but look at the massive move that it has made. It has moved the whole world into making us, just simple verses that I won't go and prove prophetically, but things like that, the whole world would be able to hear the gospel preached. That couldn't happen 20, 30 years ago. Now, that's possible to happen this morning through technology. I'm simply saying there's massive movements heading us into prophetical truth. And we're there. I mentioned the southern border, Afghanistan. Economically, the inward decline and breakdown of social norms and the bankruptcy of our moral fabric in our country and the world. Coronavirus. Listen, you talking about major moves? If you think, look at me here and listen to me outside this morning. I thought headed into this, Brother David, 3-6 months max. And I made up my mind. I was headed back to normal as soon as possible. And I'm not going to get used to this being the new normal. Can I say to you this morning, as humbly as I know how to, we are not going back. We're in a brand new world, and it will never go back. Because they are people in power being persuaded by wickedness and by the perversion of the devil and the demonic force of hell that are taking every advantage, whether it's a pestilence, whether it's war, whatever the case, the devil takes every advantage he can to push us toward where we're heading, and we are going there faster than we can believe.
That's right.
Oh, yes. And so I'm not blaming or casting stones or trying to be color outside the lines this morning. I'm just simply stating this is where we are. And just like your child, Laurel come dancing through the house this morning. I had to run the church van up here, and I got back home, and she'd done got out of the shower, took a shower, got out of the shower, got her clothes on, fixed her hair, and was dancing and prancing through the house. And I thought, I said, who fixed your hair? She said, I did, Daddy. I said, how'd you learn to do that? It was just seemed like yesterday we were changing the diaper and having to clothe her. And I'm simply saying, living in the life and living in the moment, you don't see the changes as well as you do when you step back and look and say, wow, look where we are. And I'm saying to us as the church, as believers, we are further than we believe to the coming of the Lord. Somebody is stirring the pot and pitting people against one another and waging war within and without. And there are greater powers at work than politicians. There is a power, an evil power, and a very strong power that is moving things and shaking and shifting things that we're headed towards for a one world government, a one world church, and a one world currency. And to be completely honest, I don't think we, the church, please hear me, I don't think we're ready. That's not an indictment trying to cast blame. That's just a reality that as a pastor of this church, I don't think Morningstar Baptist Church is ready for where we, not for where we're headed, but I don't think we're ready for where we are. Before I get into the armor and what God has given us that we can stand and face and withstand these evil days, I want to remind us all of what Jesus said concerning the end of the world. And just see if any of these things sound familiar and seem to be stacking up and the dominoes lining up for everything to fall. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, and he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, what then shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? They asked for that. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear, listen, of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Listen to this verse tucked in between what Jesus is saying will be the signs of the coming of the Son of Man and the end of the world. And he said that when you see these things, the end is not yet. It's just the beginning of the end. And he tells about wars and rumors of wars, pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Listen to verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I've never seen the verse in the context. I saw it this morning. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Listen to me. That is not talking about unbelievers. That is talking about born again believers and those who are sitting on church pews who are headed into dark, dangerous, demonic days. And because iniquity shall abound in the world and in our country, in our culture, and yes, even in our homes, iniquity abounds. And because we've allowed iniquity to abound, our love has grown cold and we will not be willing and ready to stand when we are called upon to do so. It's going to get hard. It's going to get way harder. If you think coronavirus sent us for a loop, and it did. It did. Look at how it shook the church. I'm not even going to speak to the country. I'm not a politician. But I'll speak to the church. We have allowed things we would have never allowed before. Right now this morning, we are way into this thing. And there's people outside. There's people at home. There's multitudes listening to a preacher preach over the internet this morning. Things that were unimaginable. Things that we never dreamed. Measures we never thought. And simply in the middle of trying to do right and be safe and cautious, we have given way and we've moved the boundaries and we've let things happen. And I said this morning, and I meant it, I thank God for those outside. I do. I thank you for coming. But we'll offer that this week. By the grace of God, no other people test positive. I'll unplug that transmitter and expect everybody to be back inside. Why? Because I see how far the devil will try to push us if we simply allow a pestilence or any other reason to push us away from the house of God. Amen. And if there's ever been a time we need the house of God, we need the preaching of the Word of God, we need the fellowship of the people of God, is the singing of the people. It's in this day and hour. If we ever needed prayer, it's in this day and hour, because we're going to need all that we have to stand in this evil day.
Yes, sir.
And God called me to lead. God called me to pastor. And God forbid I fall like a cheap suit and say, okay, church, have your way and go your way, because we can't afford that.
Right.
Can't afford that. Somebody has to stand on the wall and cry aloud and say, we can't go that way. We can't afford that. I'm so afraid I'm going to stand before God, and already what I've allowed has been way too much. Don't get mad at me right there. I'm going to have to stand before God for that. You don't. It bothers me. And I've tried my best to be balanced. But I feel like I've leaned and been one-sided toward safety. And I wasn't planning on saying this morning. But when I can justify and excuse canceling church and calling off church and going to all these different forms of church we've had under the heading of safety, while there's people all around the world who are funneling themselves and secretly meeting in houses and underground churches, and death will be their portion if they simply get caught, but they're willing to go even with death standing right in front of them.
How about that,
man?
Man, yes, sir.
I'm simply saying we cannot justify everything we've done.
Amen.
Because standing at the judgment seat of God, we're gonna have to give an account, and all of our excuses are gonna be burned like wood, hay, and stubble, and they will not stand.
Yes, sir.
You're right.
I'm just. Hey, look up here at me. It ain't praying time yet. Look up here at me. I'm just being honest with you. I hadn't said a lot of this stuff before. I'm bearing my heart to you this morning and saying what I'm going to have to stand before God with as a pastor. You're going to have to stand with God as a Christian.
Amen.
And our flimsy excuses will not stand the fiery judgment of God.
That's right. Yes, sir.
No. Hey, my only point in saying that, I said, well, it's going to start out dark and hard. My only point in saying that is I'm trying to wake us up and help us to see if we were willing to give all that we've given, all the ground we've given for COVID, for some sickness, or fill in the blank. Don't you think the devil noticed? Don't you think the government noticed? Don't you think the powers that be said, wow, we've never been able to infiltrate the church and have that much power and dominion over the church as we do now.
Good preaching right there.
The devil is crafty and cunning and slick, and he will slither in any way he can. And if he can use a sickness or a pandemic to do it, I promise you there's nothing out of bounds for him to use. I'm simply saying, if we've given this much ground, here's a verse: if the footman weary you, what you gonna do with the horseman? I'm saying if we think it's hard now, we're just entering this phase. It's not a question. It will get harder. Sooner than later. And it's time for we the church to understand where we are. The devil has sold us a bill of goods in so many directions. And while we have been looking at the fluorescent, shiny object in the room, he has been busy making major moves. And the church has been rocked to sleep. And we have no idea what we're facing. And it's high time we do. Amen. Listen, I don't like preaching this no more than you like hearing it, but it's simply the truth. It's simply the truth. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Listen, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. It's going to get so bad, God's going to have to shorten the days because the agony will be so high. It's going to get harder. It goes on to say, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. I'm talking about the end of the world, the coming of the Lord. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. How many of you have seen a lot of these things that Jesus said would happen? And he said, when it gets this way, that generation will not pass before the coming of the Son of God. I would not bet with all the evidence that I have of God's Word being fulfilled in my lifetime. I would not bet that this ain't that generation. I wouldn't wager that. Matter of fact, I would highly lean toward this being that generation. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of the day and the hour not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came. Listen, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I'm simply saying, many have been deceived. Over and over in these verses, he said they'll be many deceived. This is a day of deception, and not just for the world, but the church has been deceived in thinking it's easier and we have way more time. And I'm telling you, we are out of time. Amen. It's time to armor up and put on, not part, because part of the armor will not help you to stand. If the devil knows your weakness, if you don't believe that, come talk to me after service. It won't take me 5 minutes of talking to you one-on-one. Brother Stephen, the devil knows your weakness. He knows mine. And you know what he ain't going to come to me with after service? My strength. He's going to come to me at my weakest, most vulnerable point. And when I will put on the helmet of salvation and shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel and put on the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, and I have all that and I leave out one. The breastplate of righteousness which is covering my heart. Where do you think he's coming? For my head? No. He sees that missing garment that's hiding my heart. And he's coming for my heart. If I cover my heart, as many of us will, and I'll deal with this, and forget the helmet of salvation, he's not coming for my heart because he can see what I'm missing. And he will chop my head off. If I fail to put on the shoes of the gospel, he'll come for my feet. I'm simply saying where we're weakest is where he's coming. Amen. And that's why, not once, but twice in these verses, God said, if you're going to stand, put on the whole armor.
That's right.
The whole armor. Yeah. By the way, I'm going to have to deal with this evening, but listen to me. Listen to me. God provided the armor. The helmet, the shield, the sword, the shoes, all of it. All of it. The breastplate. God provided, God gifted that to us for the taking. Oh, but you cannot miss this. He said, Brother Jimmy, put on. God ain't going to get you up this morning and clothe you. You have to take some responsibility and put on. He didn't say, I will put on. He said, you put on the whole armor. You have to do your part. Amen. We might look at one of them this morning. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Wherefore, therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Blessed is the servant whom his Lord when he cometh shall find so doing. Well, that's where we are. Would you say amen? A lot of what I described is where we are. Some of those verses I just read out of Matthew 24, you know this if you've studied the Bible any length of time. Matthew 24 is not where we are. It's where we're going. It's where this world's going. Nothing can stop it. Nothing can detour it. But Jesus said in the verses I just read, "This the end is not yet." What I'm simply saying is, if we are already seeing the signs and we're already seeing everything shaping up and we are where we are and we are where we are, then we are at least 7 years behind the end. The tribulation is going to take 7 years. All this will unravel. A lot of the verses we just read will take place, and it'll take 7 years for that to transpire. And if we are already seeing the signs, how much closer are we to the coming of the Lord? Oh, we're close. We're so close. And with that being said, I want to ask this honestly and straightforward this morning. God help us to answer this. I hope this goes past listening to a sermon this morning. Everybody needs to answer this. Will you be standing when he comes? Not your brother, not your mother, not your sister, not who's on the pew with you, but I want to ask you, not your wife, not your children, but will you be standing when he comes? We just read, nobody knows when he's coming. But he said, it's going to be like this when I do come. So you better be ready. I used to preach a message, ready or not, here I come. And I'm saying we are close. And the devil is going to do everything in his power, Brother Ned, to knock us out at the end. I read the verse this morning, thinking about Salt, Brother Larry Brown, my pastor, died day before yesterday, and his funeral will be Wednesday. Great man of God. Great, great man of God. Great preacher. And I was reading the verse this morning about Saul and Jonathan and how they had died, and David was grieving their death, and asked the question, how have the mighty fallen? That can be applied so many ways, but the devil don't care if he gets you out at the beginning or the middle or the end. Matter of fact, he probably would rather get people out when they're at their highest, when they're most visible. So great will be the fall.
Yeah.
And many will see it and fall with them.
All right.
You say, I've stood all this time. Will you be standing when Jesus comes? He give us, I'm not going to preach on these this morning. I'll just give the groundwork and I'll come back and show us. I just pose the atmosphere and the question this morning of what we're facing, where we're headed, where we are, and will you stand? Because over and over he said, you need to stand. You need to stand. Stand. So you can withstand. What does that mean? What does stand mean? It means don't move. Don't fold. Don't shift. You're going to need to be firm. You're going to need to stand fast and straight in the last days. And I'm going to give you everything you need. And you're going to have to take it all. Can't take part. You're going to have to take it all if you're going to stand. Knowing that, I think it'd do us all good to look at what God said you're going to need to stand. Don't you? You say, but I've heard this in Sunday school and I've heard preachers preach 8 week, 7 or 8 week series on the armor of the Lord. And I've preached those. Listen. I've preached six of them my whole life. I've heard six of them from most preachers preached. Until this week, I never saw the seventh. They seven, not six. There's seven pieces of garments and armor. And God said, put on the whole armor. And if we're only putting on five or six of them, we can still fall. That last one, I'll just tell you what it is. I'm going to deal with it later. But he said, with all prayer and supplication. Prayer is a vital part of the armor of God. And it's never preached on in this context, but I promise you, God didn't by mistake put it there in these verses.
Amen.
So, let me say this, and we'll dismiss this morning. It's gonna be different. The days we're living is gonna be different, and going to get way more difficult. And truly, I truly believe we have entered into not just an evil day, but the evil day. I believe that, and we're gonna see people begin to fall. And it saddens my heart. But it's got to happen. Listen to me. Before you answer the question this morning, yes, I'll be standing. Oh, yes, I'll be standing. You ever heard people say, I'd die for Jesus? Oh, my foot, you would. You won't live for Him. It's easy to talk big words and say big platitudes. But if you won't live for Him, don't think for a minute when your head's put on the chopping block and all you got to do is deny Him that you wouldn't. You got way too much attention and attraction and faith in your flesh. The Bible still says put no confidence in the flesh. I'm simply saying this morning, hey, listen. It's going to happen. Did this not happen when Jesus started His earthly ministry? And the miracles were abundant, and water was turning into wine, and dead people was getting up out of graves and walking, and sick people with a palsy and withered hand was getting up, moving and running, and those that couldn't talk were screaming and shouting, and they saw the miracles and the feeding of the multitude. And boy, the multitudes grew, and they couldn't get to Him because He was pressed in the crowds everywhere. I close this morning by saying this. Where did all them people go? Because they wasn't there at the cross. They wasn't standing Not even the 12. One of them betrayed him. And you say, well, surely the other 11 was there. No, the closer he got to Calvary, the harder it got, the more fell. And the more that was not found standing. And I promise you, we're going to see people falling and folding like cheap suits the closer we get. People you never dreamed you'd see quit. These people who ain't in church ain't been here in a long time that I never dreamed would get out of church. Amen. And we're going to see more of that. Sadly, I hope you won't be one of them. Amen. But you better know this morning, you can be. I can be. And if I don't take this serious and put on the whole armor of God, I will be. And you will be too. Be back tonight. I didn't get time to deal with how many of you will say this morning, and we're done, will say this morning, I understand where we're living. I see what the Lord has said to my heart this morning. And I need to know what I need to be wearing. I need to know more about what God left me to put on every day so that I can stand. I do. I've been studying it, but I promise you, I need to know more. I guarantee you, if I was to give you the floor this morning, most people in this church couldn't stand up and name all the pieces of the garments and all the armor, much less know enough about them to put them on every day and wear them and be comfortable in them. So that you can stand. And if that's the case, hey, listen, if you're not in that crowd, praise the Lord. But listen to me. There ain't none of us here who don't need to know more about this armor that's going to cause us to stand. I hope you'll come back tonight. We'll look at them briefly. Let's stand together. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the garments of God that you've left us that we could stand, the armor, the whole armor of God. Oh, God, I thank you for not leaving us to ourselves, not leaving us alone. God, not leaving us to our own power and strength to stand, but Lord, you gave us everything we needed for this dark day. And God, I pray you have woken your church up this morning, shaken us, Lord, reminded us and helped us to step back and look at where we are. God, we've looked at the country, God, and the globe, and the church even, but Lord, I pray you'd help Christians individually this morning to look at their self and where they are. God, as this invitation is giving, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around this morning. This altar is open. I wonder if you this morning would say, I have allowed life to go by, and I've got hardened to the fact, and I've let sin abound, and I've got cold. And the truth be told, I could fall before the day's out. Would you come? Many are moving. Would you come? These altars are open. Would you come? How many of you woke up this morning and put on the whole armor? If God was to shine a light on you this morning, would you truly have the whole armor of God on? If you don't, I would highly recommend you do that now, because the day is not over and there's still time for you to fall. Would you come? Put on the armor of God. Come and pray. If you're lost here this morning, you've never received Christ, would you come? I'd love to take the Word of God and introduce you to the God of heaven. As these are praying, God's got the door open for you. Are you ready for the coming of the Son of God? Are you ready? Are you ready to meet Him? Do you have unconfessed sin? Are you as close to Him as you've ever been? You're not, you're backslidden. You need to do business with Him. Would you come? While He's calling you, would you come? People are doing business with the Lord. I wonder about you. Those that are outside in your cars, would you do business with God? Make your dashboard an altar. Pray. Amen. Amen. You come. Amen.